Welcome to Lady Bites, a short and sweet podcast. Join us, three female doctors, as we serve up bite-sized discussions on all things women's health. I'm Aoife.
I'm Kira.
And I'm Louise. And we are three doctors with a special interest in women's health. Today, we're shining light on a topic that's gaining more attention but still deserves a further discussion: menstruation and menopause in the workplace. As three female working doctors, this is especially close to our hearts.
Let's start by acknowledging myths and fictions surrounding menstruation and menopause that have long contributed to inequality in the workplace. From menstrual stigma to ageism, these taboos have created barriers to women that impact their careers and well-being.
It's clear that these misconceptions have real-world consequences.
One such myth is that menstruation makes women less capable or reliable at work, which couldn't be further from the truth. Menstruation is a natural bodily function and should not hinder a woman's ability to perform her job. Similarly, menopause is often misunderstood as a phase of decline, when in reality, many women thrive during this time and bring valuable experiences and expertise to the workplace.
Thankfully, we have moved away from the old-fashioned view that menopausal women were diagnosed with hysteria and sent away to sanitariums.
I suppose, funnily, the word hysteria originates from the Greek word for uterus, and they believed that the uterus is going to move through a woman's body and eventually was just strangling her, inducing disease. So women were really never looked upon very favourably when they went through the menopausal transition.
There's a line from Oprah, and she referenced menopause, and she says, "I discovered that this is your moment to reinvent yourself after years of focusing on the needs of everyone else. It's your opportunity to get clear about what matters to you and then pursue that with all your energy, time and talent."
So menstruation remains a topic often spoken about in hushed tones, despite being a natural biological process.
Periods can affect the workplace in many ways. Even something simple such as access to a bathroom to change a pad or menstrual cup may not be available to some. Heavy bleeding and period pains can impact on work. As discussed in one of our previous episodes, others may be dealing with conditions such as endometriosis, which can lead to symptoms impacting a woman's ability to attend work. It is also estimated that 30% of women can experience moderate to severe PMS, leading to monthly physical and psychological symptoms.
It's time to normalise discussions around periods in the workplace.
Adequate facilities and resources for managing menstruation are essential in any workplace. Accessible bathrooms, stocked sanitary products, and supportive policies can help alleviate discomfort and promote inclusivity.
But addressing menstrual stigma and providing education on menstrual health can create a more supportive environment where employees feel comfortable discussing their needs and seeking necessary accommodations. I think things are getting better. One of the companies that I work with in occupational health now is very well stocked in terms of sanitary products in their bathrooms, and they also have posters signposting to useful resources.
Any business that I go into, and I notice those little baskets in the bathroom of free pads and tampons, always gets an automatic like tick for me.
Women over the age of 50 are the fastest growing employment groups. The median age of menopause is 51. As life expectancy increases, women spend more than one third of their lives in menopause. Added to that, the perimenopause is the period leading up to menopause begins on average 4 to 7 years before menopause. As such, the number of women in employment who will experience menopause symptoms is increasing.
So in Ireland today, if you look at the number of potential menopausal women, so women anything between 45, 55, 60 years old, it's about 240,000 women that can be affected. So menopause is associated, as we know, with turbulent hormonal symptoms, and this can be reflected in the workplace, negatively impacting work performance, attendance and career decisions. Each woman's journey through menopause is unique. It's a personal experience and symptoms can completely vary. No two women's experiences of menopause are the same in terms of duration, severity and impact. Menstrual irregularities in menopause coincide with a spectrum of physical, neurocognitive and psychological symptoms that are often not just uncomfortable but extremely debilitating. They can range from the classic vasomotor symptoms of hot flushes, aches and pains, night sweats, to sleep disturbances, mood changes, and brain fog resulting in impaired verbal recall and even just concentration difficulty.
While these symptoms could impact on home life and relationships, it appears to be in the work context that women report the greatest difficulty in managing symptoms. They may feel embarrassed and unable to disclose their menopausal status and the difficulty they are experiencing.
This can negatively impact on work, with 59% of working women between the age of 45 and 55 who are experiencing menopausal symptoms identifying this as an issue. As such, occupational well-being, work performance, work satisfaction, workability, and productivity are reduced.
And around 70% of women have reported taking time off work due to periods or menopausal symptoms. Hot flushes, fatigue, difficulty in sleeping have been identified as really common symptoms impacting work and functional performance. Interestingly, neurocognitive and psychological symptoms have been reported to impact women in the work the most.
When we talk about neurocognitive, we're meaning things like brain fog, difficulty concentrating, difficulty with word recall. A lot of women mentioned that they've lost confidence in their ability to do their job.
If you look at studies, about 83% felt that symptoms negatively affected their work, and 70% scarily felt they wouldn't feel comfortable talking to their employer. I had a woman with me last week and she was going through the perimenopause and was just not able to concentrate, had brain fog, couldn't work at her job, but she had a new boss and that's why it was debilitating, because she felt had it been her old boss, they would have known that she's well able, she does her job really well, but this new boss didn't know her. Actually, she was just experiencing symptoms and I needed help with them.
And a lot of women often say maybe they're working with younger members on their team and they don't want to draw attention to their age because they're going to feel they're going to be discriminated against. Or they might be working in a male-dominated career and they don't want, again, to be making out that they're less able to do their job because they're a woman.
And I think there's a real worry as well that we have a shelf life, that once we hit menopause, that is the end of our shelf life. Or as I've heard jokingly, that we end up being in that yellow sticker aisle of the supermarket.
There are also implications for careers. Employees may reduce hours or change roles. Employees may even feel compelled to leave the workforce altogether because of menopausal symptoms or forgo promotions or similar advancement opportunities.
These may have lasting implications for employees who are highly trained and skilled and experienced. They also impact employers. Attendance may be adversely affected by menopausal symptoms with lost hours due to sickness. As well as the professional cost to women themselves, employers may lose talented and experienced staff, and this will impact the wider economy, and certainly in an era where it's very difficult to retain at-will staff.
And one in four women have considered giving up work, and actually one in 10 leave their job because of these symptoms.
Yeah, and they're really alarming statistics, and that's why the status quo needs to change. Employers play a vital role in creating a workplace environment that acknowledges and supports individuals experiencing menstruation and menopause.
Simple accommodations such as flexible work arrangements, temperature control measures, and access to healthcare resources can help alleviate menopausal symptoms and support employees' overall well-being. Combating stereotypes surrounding menopause is crucial for creating an inclusive workplace where individuals of all ages feel valued and respected.
I think this is really important. I think a lot of women actually hide their symptoms as a result of the stereotype and the fear they have. I've seen this time and time again. Whereas if they could have a simple discussion, actually, it would alleviate what they're going through. Implementing the policies that address menstrual and menopausal health, such as providing menstrual products, offering education programs, and establishing flexible working arrangements can promote equality.
And by normalizing the conversations around menstruation and menopause in the workplace, organizations can foster a culture of openness, empathy, and understanding, ultimately reducing stigma and promoting gender equality. So we're very lucky on this podcast to have Louise with us, who has a special interest in occupational health.
And Louise, you're a member of the Irish Society of Occupational Medicine, and I know you've given talks at various functions, including the Royal College of Physicians last year on menopause in the workplace.
Yes, last year I spoke about it, and I recently wrote a paper about resources that are available to companies and employers in terms of managing menopause in the workplace. And actually, there are so many resources available to companies in terms of creating policy and just really understanding what it means to be a menopausal woman in the workplace. These are actually up on my website, inform.ie, in a special section that is menopause in the workplace. But they really lay out quite clearly what it is that women feel they need, and that's been identified that will really help women within the workplace in terms of their menopause symptoms. I think it can be as simply as breaking down taboos and normalizing discussions around menopause. And that's not just about menopause, it's also about periods and menstruation. So opening up an open dialogue and encouraging people to talk about what they're feeling is really important. Employers can implement training programs to raise awareness around menstrual health and menopause, creating a supportive environment where employees feel comfortable discussing these topics without the fear of judgment or discrimination. Additionally, providing resources such as flexible working arrangements and access to menstrual products can help alleviate some of the challenges women face.
And if you are an employer, there are plenty of people that you can get in to talk to the work community about what's available and what supports are there, and even just getting people talking can make a huge, huge difference.
And that's important even in the male-dominated workforce where, you know, a lot of men will have sisters, they'll have moms, they'll have daughters, they'll have wives or partners. So raising awareness of menopause and menstruation is important for all genders.
And if you're a small company and you feel like you can't afford training, there are loads of resources available online. Like I said, on my website, I have a list of resources. They're really easy to just apply into your workplace, pretty much just copy and paste. And as simple as that, try to individualize it to where you work. But at the end of the day, it is quite easy to look for reliable resources and then apply that to your workplace. And it doesn't cost anything to do that.
I know there are practical steps to address these issues, but how do you think you can get a broader cultural shift? And so that's what's really needed to make a difference.
I think people worry about saying the wrong thing. They worry about not knowing what the answer is. So actually training programs can be quite helpful. There are training programs that we offer to both HR managers and managers, and then training programs we offer to employees so that they're both aware, because the requirement that an employee needs when it comes to menopause or menstruation in the workplace is quite different to what a HR manager or manager might need. Looking at both ends of that spectrum and seeing what each group needs can be really important. So doing workshops and webinars that are combined, but also separating out of those groups and looking at what the individual's needs are and what discussions can happen around menstruation and menopause within those groups is really important.
Another thing that was quite helpful was COVID. So the fact of being able to work from home has definitely made things a little bit more flexible for women. So if you're not feeling great on a certain morning, if employers have the ability to allow you to work from home, that can make things a lot easier. Staying at home for even an extra hour or for the day can make a huge difference and allow you to continue to work as relatively normal as possible.
And actually, I see this in occupational health. A lot of the consults, you'll get referred to an employee from a company, and the referral will say that the employee is off on sick leave or is requested to work from home for a specific reason. But actually, interestingly, when they come and see me as a healthcare professional, then they open up that actually it's their menopause or their periods. And a big thing is flooding. So women being really worried, they're going to be sitting in an office and they're going to stand up from a chair and there's going to be a big red patch of blood on the chair. So they're much more inclined to want to work from home for that reason. And that's really hard for the employee because obviously they're very conscious of what they're going through. But it's also very hard to have that conversation with an employer. And it can be quite hard for employers or HR to understand. And I think that is something I find can be a really sensitive issue when you're dealing with an occupational health consult, and then that's coming up.
I think women struggling with heavy periods who maybe need to go to the bathroom more often to change pads or tampons don't really want to be doing that, hide my tampon up my sleeve or going to the bathroom more frequently. And yet, as Aoife mentioned, when they were able to work from home, they weren't as conscious. And similarly, I've had women mention how maybe they're struggling with pelvic floor difficulties or urinary incontinence, and they're conscious that they don't want someone making a comment on how often they have to get up to go to the bathroom, walk through the office.
And simply things like commuting. I had one lady and she just did not want to do her commuting any longer during perimenopause. Her periods become very heavy, very erratic. She didn't know when she was going to have an episode of flooding. And the hour-long bus ride was now a real challenge for her. So I think we underestimate even just the effect that one symptom can have. And then you have this roller coaster of symptoms that's associated with menopause and perimenopause.
And if we're talking about the bigger picture, probably we need to go right back to the beginning and about educating children and young people about periods and about menopause so that those entering the workforce are educated and reducing stigma about these topics.
I think things are getting much better. I know when they start school, it's not just the girls that are taught about periods, they're now including boys. In school, the easiest way to get out of doing PE was simply by stating you've had your period, because no one would ever ask you anything to do with a period because it wasn't something that women or men talked about. So I think now at the moment, hopefully through education and by starting it much, much younger, that people will talk about it, that they will ask about it, and that men and boys will know what a period is.
I remember my now husband, but then boyfriend, I was on call in hospital and my period had come. So I had to call him to go buy me products. And the man in the petrol station said, "Oh my God, you deserve a prize for being such a brave man." I'd like to think now that it's just a normal part, that it doesn't matter who's buying these products and it's not going to be made to comment on.
I think as well, when we were in school, we had sex education, it's stopping you getting pregnant and not having babies. It didn't go beyond that and discuss menopause. But I think that's really shifting. I hear a lot at my menopause workshops, a lot of discussions I have where people are saying, how do we incorporate menopause into the school curriculum? And I'm very proud that my 3-year-old knows the word menopause
and often dresses up and tends to go off to do a menopause workshop, as I do on a regular basis. But I think there are loads of resources available. There's lots of easy read resources. There's lots of pictorial resources on certainly menopause and on periods, which we can adapt for the school environment as well, so that kids are learning about menopause at a younger age.
And education can have such a role. It's all about just making people more aware.
And I think what we're saying then is it's raising awareness, and it's also opening up conversations and being quite open about it. And that's really the steps that we need to take in schools and among our peers, but also within the workplace. We're very lucky among the three of us. We can share lots of our personal experiences, and we laugh about them and we resonate with each other about them. So I think if you can do that within a workforce, that can really help to change things.
So Louise, if he were to ask you what your top tip would be.
My top tip for employers would probably be to have a women's champion, so either a menstrual health or a menopause champion. And that can be someone who's in HR and maybe has some additional training or could be set for additional training, but somebody that employees can reach out to. I see this in a lot of companies, and I do a lot of work actually with the well-being officers or the champions within companies. And it's something that employees seem to really value, that they have somebody to reach out to. Very often there actually can be mental health first aiders, somebody who's really genuinely warm and emphasizing, and employees find they can turn to them quite easily. My top tip for employees would be to not let things go too far. I think I have a lot of women who come into me and they're in tears because they find that they can no longer work, and they're asking for certificates off work because their health is impacting their work to such a great degree. Whether that be menopause or periods or maybe mental health issues, they just feel overwhelmed and possibly burnt out. So addressing that early is really important. Whether you address it with HR or you go see the occupational health doctor, I think it's really important to not let your health affect your work or your work affect your health, and seek help early. Remember that you're not alone in what you're experiencing. If you find your periods are affecting you in work, if you find menopause is affecting you in work, try to reach out to your support network, whether it's friends, families. If it is a place where you feel comfortable in reaching out to your colleagues, or if there's a menopause champion maybe in your workplace, then do that. And of course, at the end of the day, I think it's important to have a GP that you can reach out to get some help in terms of symptoms if that's needed.
Taking practical steps to address these issues is crucial. What about the broader cultural shift needed to truly make a difference? It starts with challenging societal norms and dismantling the stigmas surrounding menstruation and menopause.
By amplifying diverse voices and sharing personal experiences, we can challenge the status quo and foster a more inclusive workplace where all employees feel valued and supported, regardless of their reproductive stage.
Remember that you're not alone. Reach out to your support network, whether it's friends, family or colleagues, and advocate for yourself.
And remember, the advice shared in this podcast is informative but not a replacement for personalised medical guidance from your own GP. Consult your doctor for any concerns about your health.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like more information or to contact us with your stories, please email ladybitespodcast@gmail.com or check out our Instagram page @ladybitespodcast.